What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at conairgirlbomb.com or a retailer near you.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki. Hello. Hello. Here I am. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. How are you today, listener? And Noah and Andrew, how are you guys today?
We're good.
Good. You're good? I mean, we've already kind of been on, chat together today for, I don't know, going on an hour plus now. We're in Mexico. We're doing the show from Cabo San Lucas, right? Is that right?
San Jose, Cabo, San Lucas.
I don't know things. No. I don't know where I am in Mexico at all. I know I'm a 2-hour flight from Los Angeles because I flew in yesterday, but that's all I know, baby. And it's pretty fitting, actually, because I was saying to Andrew, I was getting a little nostalgic because as we were setting up the shots and the podcast in my hotel room here in Cabo, I was reminiscent of when we began the podcast last March, also in my hotel room while on the set of F-Boy Island, which I am here doing season 2. I'm sure that's, we're not supposed to say that, but honestly, are they going to take it from me? No one else is going to host that show right now. Like, not yet. They're not going to take it from me. I was thinking, like, what if I get hit by a car? We're starting filming pretty soon. What happens if I die or something? Who's going to replace me? What would they do? Would they just go, we can't continue?
Maybe they would just like Weekend at Bernie it, put you in some Pradas and throw you up.
Depends
there.
Depends on how mangled I got from the accidento.
Yeah, I guess it's, I could see you though, like, I don't know who would do your voice. Maybe we could find like a raspy 11-year-old man, kid, boy.
Kid, man, boy? You went over every possible age for that not my gendered person.
Pretty much.
Well, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I'm excited to be here. I have a couple things to just say right off the top that I didn't go over last week that are really pertinent to this podcast.
Okay.
Okay. They have to do with cars.
Oh.
Are you ready?
Car?
No. But okay, not catalytic converters, as we all know. I know those things backward and forward.
And sideways.
Every which way. Man, boy, kid. And there's too early for a ham drip. A callback has to be a ham drip, a real ham drip. For those of you listening, ham drip means we're doing a callback to a previous joke from another episode or even from this episode. It has to be a minute later, at least.
That was 45 seconds.
No, I mean, let's go roll the tape back. I think it was.
Well, what's smaller than a ham drip? A turkey tier.
I like that. That's when it's really close. Turkey tier. Okay. Remember when I told you, did I tell you about the fender bender I got into where I let the guy go? Because I'm just like Mother Teresa.
The most amazing.
I mean, I'm pretty much.
Earth. Yeah.
Who needs Bob Saget anymore? I mean, I'm around.
Yeah.
If you didn't know, really quickly, I was in a fender bender going to my lover's radio show a couple weeks ago, and the guy bumped my mom's. I'm driving my mom's car right now because I bought her a car last year, and I just took her car. It's a 2010 Lexus. It's really nice, but it's just, you know, it's beat up. And this guy bumped the thing, and I pulled over, and I was just like, dude, who cares? Like, just, I don't care. There was a little bit of a bump, but I was like, just let it go. He looked so nervous, and I just wanted to get to radio. I just was, like, not bothered by it.
It also adds to the aesthetic that car is going for anyways.
It's really,
you know, a couple dents is like, oh, that makes sense.
I've never understood why people are obsessed with dents. I mean, I guess it looks shitty, but it doesn't affect how the car moves. I mean, I see some cars in St. Louis that are driving around without a hood, without a complete back bumper.
Dude, I've seen cars.
And I'm like, if they go, then they go.
Yeah, I've seen cars without doors or different doors that I don't even think it's the same car. I think it's like a Cadillac door on a Yugo.
My dad did that. My dad got his door hit on his car that he bought off of Craigslist. He got it hit and he wanted to get it replaced. So he found another door on Craigslist somehow of the same car, but because it was in Texas, same color, same year, everything. It was more faded than his car because it was in Texas. And so it's a different color maroon. Very interesting.
I mean, I'd almost rather go with a blue on a maroon, a nice accent door.
Than just slightly off.
Yeah. That's like your bedroom with a slight pink different.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, I know. I tried to paint my bedroom walls two different color pinks, and they're just so simple. They're supposed to be very different.
It's your dad's
car. But they're not different at all. Going back to the car incident. Yeah. So I let the guy go. Cut to a week later, okay? And this was a week and a half ago at this point. Maybe longer. So it was 3 weeks ago that it happened. And then a week later, and I meant to tell this on the podcast, but it just, you know, my mind wanders. I was driving to the recording studio where I did that Bob Saget song, among others. And I was late and I was at an intersection pulling up to a red light. And I'm on my phone, to be honest with you, because I'm trying to Waze my way to this recording studio, which I think is a normal thing to do on your phone, even though you shouldn't be on it. I was on Waze. So, I was crawling to a stop, and then I just went too far and bumped the woman in front of me pretty hard. I would say I was probably going 5 miles an hour, which is a pretty, it's a bump, you know, maybe even more. And the woman stops. We're at a stoplight, but she puts it in park. All the other cars go when it turns green. She gets alone?
She's alone. What kind of car is she in? I'm just trying to paint a picture.
Not a banger.
Okay.
Not like a banged up. You know, car, like a decent car.
Okay.
I back up slightly so I can pull out and go away. No. And I see that they've created damage. I see a dent and I'm like, all right, well, I can afford it. This is a blessing. I learned my lesson. This is way less than something I could do.
Ways less
than other damage I could do. Maybe this is a wake up call to not be on my phone ever. It's not. But okay. So then people are going to use this footage when I die in a texting accident. So then I am, I park, I get out. I see the girl get out, look at her bumper and just kind of go like sigh and not really look at me, but get back in her car. And I'm like, is she just going to leave? Cause she hasn't looked at me at all. And then she turns on her blinker and she pulls to the side of the road and I pull behind her and I get out and I go, girl, I am so sorry. I was on my phone. I'm such an idiot. I go, you know, and she goes, I don't care. She goes, and I go, but there's damage. And she
That's
goes,
so cool.
It's fine. Just go. And I was like, are you serious right now? And I go, but there's a dent there. And she was like, I think it was already there. It's not. And I was like, it wasn't. And she was like, I don't care. And I go, girl, you have no idea. I did this exact same thing a week ago, but I was you. And I had the same reaction. I go, you are such an angel. Like and I go, can I give you something? I was like, do you have a Venmo? And she was like, no, I have Cash App. And I was like, give me your Cash App. So she gave me her name. And I sent her, you know, some cash, but she totally didn't take my number, and I said, do you want anything? I go, I'm Nikki Glaser. I'm kind of a famous comedian. You can look me up. Like, here's my email address. I'm going to text you right now. So I'm accountable because I don't know what is going to be further down the road. But I honestly think the only reason that happened and wasn't thousands of dollars of bullshit was karma, because I've never heard a story where someone just lets a person go. And this girl was not in a good mood. She was...
How old?
Probably my age.
Okay.
But
did she look like she was going through something? Like,
no.
Where she was like, I don't want to do the paperwork.
No, she was just like me of like, I don't care. It's fine. And you know what? What a great... It made me so fucking happy the rest of the day.
Well, and if she lets you go, right?
Yeah.
Can she still have insurance cover it? Like, what is...
She probably didn't want to deal with because then it raises her insurance rate and it's not worth
it
for a little
bit. But it would raise mine, not hers, right? Because I was the one that hit her and my insurance would be the one that, you know?
Yeah, but my thing is, if you hit her and you drove away, could she go to her insurance company and be like, look, someone hit me and then I didn't get their information?
Why are you asking me a question that adults would know the answer to?
I'm just wondering because...
No,
I'm,
I have no idea. No, I just wanted to give a shout out to Lakeisha McJames.
My point is...
Because she's awesome.
My point is that she just doesn't want to get... Like, there's a difference between like...
I would have paid her a lot. She would have gotten... I mean, she would have gotten it paid for completely. And it would have been points on my record, not hers.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Also,
but I'm thinking...
But it's
some people, like, they'll overreact and they'll say, oh, but my neck hurts. And then they try to get like, all this other stuff. So
they can get litigious. And I just wanted to use that word. And really,
yeah, for sure.
Well,
so litigious.
All the other things. They can get, I mean, so if I hit Donald Trump like that, it not only would he shame me for it, you know, like, this is just me making up a thing, but I just feel like someone like that, if I would have hit a Karen.
Yeah.
Instead of Lakeisha.
Yeah.
Let's all be Lakeishas and just like let it go if it's not that big of a deal. And if it is a big deal and you want to get it fixed, don't be an asshole about it because we've all been on our phones driving.
The
and
only
if you
reason why I asked that
you're
is
a goddamn
that
saint.
I think like I wouldn't want the other person to get in trouble per se, but I would also want it to be covered so I don't I'm not in the hole.
No.
So
it's okay. They should get in trouble. Like the law's in place so that your insurance should go up. If you're negligent and you hit someone. So that's all fine. And I would have been fine with that. But the fact that it wasn't something she cared about enough to get fixed, obviously, if you're that kind of person, let the person go. And what you can do is always, you can get the person to pay for it. Just don't make the person feel bad about it. Let's be forgiving. You can get compensated, but just not being an asshole made my day.
It is possible, though, she didn't have insurance.
Yeah, well, whatever it is.
No, I'm just saying, though, I agree. I'm saying, though, like, it's not just necessarily karma. I don't think just because you let that person go that she let you go. There could be a reason, like, she might have points on her license.
Well,
she might have a suspended license.
Well, karma happens not because I believe karma happens not. It doesn't mean that it has to be another person doing a good deed out of their kindness of their heart. Because let's be honest, mine wasn't a good deed out of the kindness of my heart more than I just don't care about my mom's car. I wanted to get to the radio show. You know, it's always circumstantial.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like,
it
deserves But it just
felt like, whoa, this never happens. But maybe it does a lot. I don't know. And
you find out she, like, just murdered somebody. like, God, she was so not, like, she just let me go.
You're like,
and there's someone in
Lakeisha
the trunk.
McJames?
Yeah. The one that's killed 15 people.
The nursing home.
Yeah, the nursing home murderer.
No, she was an angel to me that day. And then last night, after I dropped you off at home at your hotel, I came back to mine and I pulled into a one-way thing that was, there was no harm because there was no cars coming, and but it was bad. And a cop car turns on its lights and starts pulling me over. And then I pull, it's right before my hotel. I pull into my hotel and they just go on past. Because I kind of went out the window like, I'm a dumb American. Like, kind of like, ah! And they just went on past. And then I pulled into the valley and all the valley. And I go to the valley guys. I was like, I did the truck driver like honk honk. Like, yes, yes. Because they all saw it happening and they were laughing so hard. They kept doing my honking thing. They were like, oh, did you see her doing this?
They were calling you a honky.
That was probably it. They were like, cracker, cracker, cracker.
Honky, honky. Yeah, I think like you went down a one-way today. And I mean, the roads here are a little weird. There's no U-turns. You're going down a one-way in the...
Oh, in the grocery store.
And I wasn't... it's funny, sometimes like I'll react to your driving, whether it's poor or not, and then you get up, you're like, you always tell me like,
no,
oh,
I was
just
talking
relax.
To the person.
Oh, you're, oh, I thought you were talking to
oh,
me.
Oh, no, 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 because I was talking to the person in the car, because I go, easy, calm down.
I thought that was me.
Oh, no, I always do a little whiny in response to like someone who's like,
when losing their mind.
When they're going,
it is one of my
car,
favorite things
okay.
of seeing you drive and other people getting mad at you. And you go, oh, what's the.
I go, come on. Oh, are you so sad? Oh, no, 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 no.
Oh, I ran over your dog.
And honestly, it's not, it's these aren't traffic and, you know, things that I'm doing that are life
egregious.
Damaging.
No.
These are just like me backing into a space the wrong way or something. You know, who cares? We are in Mexico. Andrew, anything to report on your end?
Yeah. When you left, they give you a box here when you shop. They don't give you bags.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and
grocery
they wash
shopping.
Your car. Oh, well, yeah. And so then I had
thank you all for your comments on the grocery shopping video of Andrew dancing last night. That was so fun.
I barely had enough groceries to, like, carry with two, just a little over two hands, and I used a one of those push carts because they give you a box.
Yeah, they don't use bags here, which I like, but they put it in a little box.
And they also wash your car
at the grocery store,
and they work for the grocery store,
right.
Which is wild.
And
they're not looking for money. They just detail your car.
Well, they're looking for money, obviously.
Yeah, but the people aren't there to.
What do you mean? I know, but when they come back out and the guy's
maybe.
Standing there being like, hey, look, it's pretty shiny. It's like, hand over the money.
I brought golf clubs here. There's a lot of golf courses in Cabo.
Yes.
And before you even leave the airport, like five different guys tried to upsell me on like to go to the golf. Like they have. You know, a relationship with one of these very
right.
fancy,
and
like,
you
just
were,
for $40.
You were interested.
Not only was I interested, I'm,
did you
know,
get some cards?
I got some phone numbers to call Eduardo to hook up the Diamante for $45.
Hell yeah.
But he wanted money then, and I didn't give it up. I actually, like, I stopped myself finally. Like, but I am that person. Like, I'm the guy
Listen.
That's like, hey, hey, just come over here and talk. Oh, we're friends. Like, I just want a friend, I think.
I know.
And they
you,
give you
said that today about staying. So Andrew's staying at the hotel with all the crew and the, all the producers and everyone, because Andrew is a producer on the show, by the way.
Yeah, it's dope.
Applause break. For...
Yeah. Sit down, guys.
Yeah, everyone sit down. But Andrew has a producer credit. That's so exciting.
Yeah.
But you are staying at this hotel where they are all at. And I'm at a resort type place away from everyone because...
you're on
I'm
top
special.
Of a hill just looking down.
I'm actually in a basement of this resort. It's kind of weird. But Andrew said this morning that it was nice to go to like, there's like a continental breakfast and
I love a continental breakfast.
There's he goes to the gym and there's just, it's like a social environment.
Yeah.
Cause we're seeing all these people that we saw last time. And there is something really nice about that. Cause I was thinking, you know, I had Carlisle stay with me last week and then I went to LA this week and I was like, alone in my hotel. I really, and then you've moved out and I had like a week alone, but I really do need roommates, even though sometimes I just, it's interesting the difference between being living alone and wanting to like have alone time.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I want to live alone next to my best friends. Like I don't want the responsibility because I feel like a lot of our arguments are like, even minor arguments with Brenna, like they're all, it always comes
proximity.
Down, it comes down to duties and like who's doing what.
Who's
so
cleaning up
I'd
duties.
Rather have my, if my room's a pigsty, it's my pigsty. But
that's what I feel like. Like
I
when
want
I look
my
around
own
my
pigsty.
House every time there's been so many times where I'm sitting and I have so much shit everywhere. And I know that like you think I probably never cleaned it up shit because of you, but I'm now realizing like my awareness that you would always come home was always, there was something in me that was
same.
Like, clean up a little bit.
Yeah,
don't be a total slob. Put on some pants, stuff like that. But every time it occurs to me, there's a sadness where I go, oh, I guess I don't have to put on pants. I guess I can just keep eating like a slob. And like, there's no accountability.
Yes.
And you could slide into sadness pretty quick, which is great. While I'm so glad I'm doing this podcast with you every day from my hotel room, because I've guaranteed company coming over every day.
And I love it. I love coming. Like I like.
How great is our relationship not living together?
It's very good.
I mean, the only thing I'm wanting more of, which we didn't get a chance to do, is you and Brenna coming over and like hanging socially.
Which we will. And you came over, you know, like,
oh
we
God,
will.
Your apartment's like, so cute. Yeah. That, we'll do that once we fall into a groove, which I'll never fall into because my life never ends in terms of work. But let's take a short break and let's get Andrew.
Coming.
Have you ever seen a girl with a perfect wardrobe and everything just looks like clean and put together and you know she's not rich and you're like, how is this happening? I swear to God, this bitch knows about Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. I'm talking 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. Did you hear me say washable silk tops? Yes, washable. I have a silk dress from them and I did wash it and it still looks great. It is such like a cute piece that I will have forever that just matches with everything. Add some Quince pieces to your wardrobe to just elevate the whole thing. People will think you shop in France. I know you're thinking, well, Nikki, why is Quince so cheap? There's always a reason. Well, it's because they directly partner with top factories. They cut out the middleman and they pass the savings on to you. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Nikki.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
We're back. Hey, Noah. You hung out with my parents.
Oh my God.
Last week. You are so adorable. Can I just say that I was talking to my dad. My mom was nervous about hanging out with you, I have to say, because she just gets nervous about anyone new, and especially someone young and who's friends with me who might judge her. Like, she has to, like, you know, hanging out with anyone new is, like, stressful, right? We can all agree. It's just, and my mom has those stresses, and I was like, Noah loves you. It's going to be so easy. I swear to God, you're going to be nervous right until you get that, like, hang out, and then it's going to be easy peasy. And then and they both fucking loved you. My mom flooded me with texts that night. She had a couple drinky poos, and she was like going on. I got to read some of them about
you. They're
going
to come over. We're at that point of our relationship.
What did you do with them, Noah?
So I went hiking with them, and your dad is such a good hiker.
You know what it is? You look enough like Nikki, but you like hiking. Like, you're the daughter they never had.
Oh, my God.
I
have
wish.
You put blue contacts in?
They're wonderful parents. And we both got to the parking lot of Sabino Canyon at the same time. And I go up to the visitor center because that was like our meetup spot. And all of a sudden I hear, Noah, Noah. And I go, Julie. And we just kind of like run up to each other and I hug them and stuff. They're so funny. And
I'm really lucky.
They have a great relationship. I wish I had parents like that to model after.
You know, tell me about what you witnessed. Yeah. Because I just want to say to you, my mom said, I know you are. I said, she wrote me up. She was a little bit, I think, had a couple drinks. And so she was texting me like crazy. And she's like, I was going, she said, I hope Jonah is okay in Tonga, which, by the way, that is a reference to Summer Heights High. Jonah is a character on that show that lives in New Zealand, and she was reading about the volcano in Tonga, and so she said, I hope a character is okay in Tonga. And I said, okay. I said, haha. And she goes, I know you are in LA. Met up with Noah. She loves you and us. She's so cute. We better see her before we leave. Watching Brittany Murphy doc, what a sad world she lived in. Her fucking husband, Simon. I'm just glad you never fell for a Simon. I said, Simon is so disgusting. I love Noah. She goes, ha, ha, ha. You are so hip to what's going on. Stylist try on tomorrow? And then she goes, by the way, Noah loves you too. Have you met Avi? I said, yes, he's so nice. She said, we are going to meet him. Noah wants us to come over to her house. That's so cute. And then she talked a lot of shit. But no. What did you notice about the relationship that maybe I'm missing out on because I'm jaded and, you know. Mm-hmm.
One, your dad is a leader because I thought I was going to have to figure out like the hiking trail at Sabino, but he knew them all and he was the one who led us. Your parents are very adventurous. They told me about their trip to Alaska and now they're in Tucson. And I just think it's great that they travel together and do all that stuff. And your dad is so sweet. There was this woman who was mountain biking with her kids and she had no idea what she was doing. And the kid fell off the bike and your dad helped him up and he helped him fix the bike chain and stuff. And he kind of like gave them advice on what to do. It's very sweet.
Okay. I like it. No, I love this trip for them. You know, for the listener doesn't know, my parents just decided to go to Tucson, Arizona for the month because they have a friend who has a house there that gave them like a deal on an Airbnb situation and they're there the whole month. And I love them being somewhere where they're just living their best life and they're not working and my mom's not constantly rattled by like cleaning and figuring out, you know, bills and stuff. It's nice to have them on an extended vacation where I'm like, oh man, I want everyone to have that kind of life eventually.
It was funny though.
It's retirement.
Before your parents left, they were talking to me and your mom was like, God damn, EJ's inviting a
everyone
new couple.
Everyone is coming out to this goddamn, we got this house and EJ is having so many goddamn guests. I'm going to have to clean and cook and entertain. I don't even, and that's true. They have had, they didn't have time to call me about Bob Saget.
Yeah,
because they were so preoccupied with guests.
There was
they
a jazz festival in town, and they basically had a bunch of jazz musicians hang out and stay with them.
Yes.
That's how cool your parents are.
My dad's best friend is a jazz musician named Steve Schmidt, who's really, you know, popular, famous jazz musician in Cincinnati. And so they came out and went to the jazz festival. I don't think he played in it, but my parents are cool as fuck.
Yeah.
There's just no doubt.
If you have a friend that plays jazz who comes out and just is like, hey, you mind if I put my oboe over there?
Their friend John Vester is famous in Finland. No, Denmark.
What does he do?
He's a musician.
Another jazz.
John Vester. He lives in Venice, California, but he's super famous. He bought a place on right off the Venice Boardwalk in the 1970s, and so he has this amazing. It's where I lived when I first moved to LA. I lived in his spare bedroom off Venice Boardwalk with my dad's best friend from high school, who is this kind of hippie-ish dude.
Yeah,
And he's famous in Denmark. It's so interesting when people are famous.
Oh, he's not from Denmark.
No.
He's just famous in Denmark.
They just picked him up there, like that Sugar Man.
Yeah, who's famous in South Africa and never knew. That's wild. Maybe I'm famous in Jersey.
Yeah.
Something crazy.
It is interesting to look at your stats of on Instagram are your fans.
I love 3% in Australia. What's up, guys? We're fan from Estonia. I didn't even know Estonia was a real place.
I don't know. I think that sounds like a metal band.
Noah loves them.
Wait.
She has a tattooed under her tongue.
Noah, have you watched Kamikaze? Kamikaze.
No, but your parents were telling me about it.
Okay. Yeah. I've gotten some besties into it. And Andrew obviously watched it way before I even finished it. I've watched it twice now. I love it so much. Oh. I just want to reinforce that it's really good and everyone should watch it. It's on HBO Max and you should definitely watch it in Finnish. Danish. No, it's Danish. John Vester might be all over that thing.
Yeah.
You should watch it in Danish and then have the subtitles on. But if you watch the first episode, be warned that at the end there is a text message that they do not translate, and you can just Google what does the text message say at the end of the episode. But please do not do any research about what this show is about before you watch it. Just put it on and watch it.
Or watch it with English, like I did.
No.
They're really good with English.
And it was recommended to someone who watched it in English. I reached out to the girl from Kamikaze. Her name is Maria Ruther.
The one that got hurt in Tonka?
No.
Her character?
I mean, I matched with him on Raya once. Chris Lilly. He's amazing.
I'm just trying to think of a different character
my mom could be worried about. Well, she should be worried about what's her name from the show. I posted about Kamikaze on my Instagram story, and Marie Ruther from the show DM'd me a heart eyes emoji being like, thank you for posting. And I go, girl, thank you for bringing this character to my life.
You are
insanely good. And now we're Instagram friends and it's just so fun. Another show I'm so into right now, Afterlife.
Yeah, I've watched the first two seasons. So
the third season just came out.
Did you watch it already?
I'm getting through the second season. I'm on the third episode of the second season.
Let's watch the third season together.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Boy, that show is great. Noah, have you seen Afterlife?
Yeah, I watched the first season. I have to catch up.
Ricky Gervais is, I know he's been on You Up before when we had it on Sirius. He is so awesome. And I was reading about him last night. Did you know he was a singer and in a band, like a pop singer?
Oh, wow.
Before he was a comedian?
Well, he also worked in a regular office.
He did?
He didn't start, he didn't blow up until his 40s.
He had all that stuff to write about
because he actually worked in that was based off kind of a true story.
I like how the Afterlife kind of is like The Office. They have an office setting.
Mm-hmm.
But Afterlife is on Netflix. If you haven't checked it out yet, I can't recommend that enough either. That is a totally different kind of tone of a show than Kamikaze, but it's so good.
I love that kind of tone of the show.
The acting on that show, every single character is fucking brilliant. The funniest character is the psychiatrist, who is also in Game of Thrones. I mean, all of these people are, every British actor is in Game of Thrones, I realized, which is a show I haven't seen, even though I know it would probably be one of my faves.
And Succession is all Australians and British actors.
Did you read that New Yorker piece about Jeremy Strong?
No.
Kendall from Succession.
Uh-uh.
So it's all about how serious of an actor he is.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. I'll send it to you. It was it got a lot of headlines when it came out. So there's this New Yorker article about Jeremy Strong, who plays Kendall in Succession. And it's all about how his acting process, and he's very method, meaning like he's in it and wants to, he makes everyone else's lives miserable to get the role right. And if you're watching Curb this year, he's almost kind of like that guy on Curb, that player plays young Larry, who wants to like have the perfect glasses and everything. And it's like, you read this and you're like, this guy is obnoxious. It was interesting though, because I was reading, what did I read that made, I was reading the a New York Times piece about Kathy Griffin and about her comeback, who I'm a huge Kathy Griffin fan and always will be. And after she got, she said, I wasn't canceled after the Trump mask thing. I was ruined. And they tried, and she was like, she couldn't work, but she was talking about coming back from that and how, and they were talking about in the article how women, when they have similar, so everyone came, so the article about Jeremy Strong was not, it didn't paint him in a good light. Some of his, you know, co-stars were like, yeah, it's annoying. He's annoying. Brian Cox, you know, who plays his father, is like, it's a whole thing with him. And then after it came out and everyone's kind of making fun of him, all these people, Aaron Sorkin, all these people come out and say like, we support him. He's an actor. Like he has nothing to be ashamed of. Like, that's just the way he is. He's not an asshole, all this stuff. And then they were comparing that to like when a woman acts the way, if a woman were to act the way Jeremy Strong acts on set, it's very interesting to play that out and see how that would be accepted, because I don't think it would be. And I think that we,
but what was like, what was, I'm just trying to wrap my head about like specifically, like what does he do that? Like, does he just, obviously he doesn't break character, but is he, does he act like an asshole and be like, well, that's the character.
He
like,
does anything to get the role. He calls people to like, he's calculating and how he gets roles and how he follows up with people. He's really talented, but he, you know, he made kind of a connection with Chris Evans back in like his theater camp days. And so he emailed him and like tried to get through his agent. Like just,
I kind of love that, though, love that the hustle of it. Like, but yes,
there was just something about, you know, I'm not doing a good job of painting it, but I was reading the subreddit.
Did he cut a president's head off and put it on?
The thing about the Kathy Griffin thing, can I explain what happened, which is kind of interesting?
Yeah.
So we all know she
got
canceled.
This is in the same article.
No, Kathy Griffin one is separate from the Jeremy Strong one.
Okay.
So the Kathy Griffin incident happened because he had just said that thing about Megyn Kelly where there was blood coming out of everything. And he was kind of commenting about her being on her period.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And so she was doing a photo shoot and they went to the Halloween store to get a mask of Trump. And they put a like the they put it in like one of the styrofoam wig things, so it was filled out. And then they were like, "We'll put blood on it because he said blood coming out of everything." And then of course it looks like a severed head, but it was in the context of that line, which you know later on completely out of context. And she did, and she was investigated by the Secret Service for wanting to like decapitate the press. I mean, it was ridiculous, and it was just and he sicked his
and
people.
And she's also
on
a redhead.
Yeah, I mean,
they're both redheads.
Is he a redhead?
No, with the blood.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, I just, she's just so cool. I've been through so much. I just really admire her. But I also like Jeremy Strong. Like, there was nothing about it that made me go, he's an asshole. I just thought it was interesting. Like,
I don't know. I think, like, when you have someone, like, just a visual, like, so much of the things, like, where people, you know, if it's a story of Jeremy Strong being a dick, but if it was caught on video, right, out of context of Jeremy Strong, like throwing coffee on someone's face and being like, that's the character, you know, like, or whatever,
you know,
then it changes everything. Like if you just heard, like,
I did a really bad job because honestly, it must not have been a dick, but I just remember people making a thing of it. And then everyone came to his defense. And I'm not trying to play the, if it was a man card, because I know that some women can be divas and people like really respect that about them. But I just tend to notice that when, if women like have like a way they do things and it just, I mean, even with this situation with this hotel room, I don't love it and I want to switch to a better one. And I know there's some money in the budget to get me a better one.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want that to be a thing that HBO and like everyone knows about me is like Nikki is a I don't want to be a diva ever. I don't want to be a nag. I don't want to be a slut. I don't want to be a tease. I don't want to be a diva. What are other things women don't want to be? Do you not want to be? You don't want to be a pussy, a creep. Men don't want to be pussy.
But
creep.
I'm kind of like with you on this stuff. Like for me to ask for a better fucking.
You're the same way.
I'm very similar in a way. But also, but there are people that just think they deserve it and they don't care like how people perceive it. Like I'm not one of those people. Like I asked for a little bit more money than what they offered me mm-hmm. for this. And that was a huge.
Good for you.
And I didn't get it, but I was happy that I did it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it wasn't like crazy amount of money. And then I was, you know, my thing though is like, if I was on Shark Tank, I was like 40%. And they're like, well, we'll give you 4%. I'll be like,
you know what? Yeah. Who needs the tea?
Yeah. But that's what I would do. Like, I'm not really like, but I'm glad that I did it. But yes, I see your point. But maybe there's a room in the building that's yes. similar price to in a different area.
And honestly, I'd be willing to pay the extra. Like there with my HBO special right now, it's been pushed. Like mm-hmm. the air date has been pushed 4 months because I didn't get the edit done in time because I'm just being too nitpicky about it. And you know, they have a certain budget allocated for like, this is how much money we can spend on editing. And I'm blowing past that severely because I just want it to be great. And it's just not yet to me. And it really has the potential to be. And I wrote in the email to the guy yesterday, I'm like, I got a really good song for it that I've wanted forever. And it costs like $30,000, which is what any song that you would recognize or any that you wouldn't even recognize the song, but it's what it costs. And I said, you know, I'll pay my own money for extra editing. I just want this to be great. I think it could win an Emmy. And I just want, or we could just get rid of the song and I could literally like, we could do a sound alike that will cost $5, you know? So but it's interesting when people ask for more, like I was.
No, but so you asked for that. What did he say?
He hasn't written me back yet. But in the Kathy Griffin article, this is what freaked me out. So this is what frayed her relationship with CNN long before the mask incident. So she called, I forget who was the president of NBC at the time, like Jeff Zucker or something like that. And she called him like 10 days before she was supposed to do Christmas Eve CNN with Anderson Cooper or New Year's Eve. Christmas Eve, the countdown to Christmas Eve. They're just counting like the 12 days of Christmas. So she called Jeff Zucker. Noah, you'll love this too because I was thinking of you because you're really good when it comes to like stepping up and trying to negotiate and fight for yourself if you think you deserve it. And she said to him, I want this much more money because I think Anderson's making that and I want this much more money. And he thought it was a threat that she would walk if she didn't get it. So he said, well, you're fired. I don't take threats. Like, don't threaten me with this. And he fired her, and then she apologized, and then he hired her again, and then gave her less than she was making before.
Oh, man.
That's fucked up.
And, yeah. But this bitch, like, Kathy Griffin, the reason I resonate with her when she says, I hate when people say I resonate. She resonates with me when she says that she never sought out to be someone who was offensive or who, like, had people hate her. I mean, we all get into this because we want to be loved, and mm-hmm. yet but then you just get into it and you realize the hypocrisy and like how much bullshit there is. And you're just like, fuck it. Like, I just want to, you know, if people are going to not like me, that's fine. Like I read a YouTube comment the other day under one of my most popular videos? Read it because it was there and it was nice because it said, this is as nice as it can get for me, by the way, when it isn't a bestie. It said, gotta admit, she kind of killed this one, guys.
Yeah.
So that is all they're going to give me. So what they were doing was writing in response to all the hate. And I constantly get guys telling me like, oh my God, your YouTube comments do not represent how we feel about you. And I'm like, I don't read them. So don't tell me that. But, you know, it's people, the more people that know you, the more people are going to hate you. It's just the way it goes. And I am getting so good at being okay with that. I'm so grateful that my fame has come in gentle waves and ebbed and flowed. And because I would not have been able to handle this when I was in my 20s mm-hmm. of people having mm-hmm. opinions about me and making fun of me or like, you know, just and your, you know, there was like a podcast that some people were making fun of me on recently. And it was like my peers, like people that I'm, you know, not friends with, but comedy acquaintances. And they're like trashing me on it. And it's all like good natured trashing. They're not saying they're not like it. It's not the kind of stuff that I wouldn't be able to see them and be like, oh, that was nice. You know, I texted some of them about it. But it is interesting when you get to a certain level of fame. If I were a nobody, they wouldn't be talking about this. No. You know, they would. But because I'm at a certain level of fame, you become a part of the like everyone can comment on it. Like I have a bit about, I say Pete Davidson's name in my special.
Yeah.
I am now able to comment on Pete Davidson's personal life in my special. He's someone
because
who has
he's that famous.
Because he's that famous. Yeah. I'm able to come. And then the other night I was going to Supernova in LA, which a lot of besties showed up to those shows. Thank you so much. Because they emailed Carlisle.
That's awesome.
And Mulaney was supposed to show up this weekend. He didn't because of whatever reason. But I didn't want to go to one of the shows because it was after I found out this podcast was talking shit about me. And I'm like, all the comics are talking shit about me. Everyone's laughing behind my back. Da-da-da-da-da. And it was about the Bob Saget song. They're just saying that I was like cringe. And it was cringe. And I admit, like, there's cringe things about being sincere. And it's fine. Like, I predicted it. But I was just like in this state of mind where it's like, I just heard all these nasty things about me. Howard Stern made fun of me and was like, this is the kind of thing like Nikki would make fun of. Like, what is she even talking about? And I was just feeling like, oh, everyone's like, listen to this behind my back. And they're probably like texting each other, making fun of me, which could be true on some scale. I'm not thinking everyone, but I didn't want to go to the show. Cause I'm just like, I'm going to see other comics and mm-hmm. they're going to be like snickering. And then I was like, wait a second, John Mulaney might show up to the show. John Mulaney, who I read speculation about his personal life. I went on the Daily Mail two seconds yeah. before I was leaving to go, and I see pictures of him and Sarah Silverman walking the reservoir and him holding his baby. I'm like, everyone is following him and commenting on his life. How must he feel showing up tonight, knowing that his acquaintance, Nikki Glaser, has probably mouthed off on many podcasts about his personal life, knowing nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of what you sign up for. I'm not saying that I'm not going to stop talking and commenting on celebrities' lives but what I'm going to do is accept that mine is commentable too, and I'm able to be mocked by other comedians, and it's okay because I know who I am. I know where, I know why I do things.
Yeah.
And the thing about them making fun of me for the Bob Saget song on this podcast, like, first of all, they're not wrong. It is a little cringe being like that sincere and saccharine. It's so cringe. What I don't care about it though is that I didn't put out that song so I could get attention, so that I know in my deepest heart of hearts that I wasn't like, look how close I am with Bob. If anything, I'm like, we weren't that good of, mm-hmm. like, I feel guilty. I've said it on this podcast. I'm guilty. We weren't that good of friends. I wasn't trying to get attention for it. I wasn't trying to make myself more famous because of it. I was just putting something out there that reflected how I felt. I would never have done it had I not already been in a recording studio recording songs that I never intended to release, which I could even prove that I wasn't going to intend to release them with
yeah.
multiple conversations I had. I was paying thousands of dollars just to do this thing that I wanted to do for fun. And that's why it happened. And also, my final thought about this is that because no matter what other people say you're doing something for, because I think I didn't listen to their thing, but I think they just said it was cringe and that it's like Nikki thinks she's like sweet. She doesn't sound that good, whatever it was. And them saying, I know what I would say if someone comic did this. Let me just say that is that they're trying to get attention. They're trying to be like, I was so close with this famous person. I know I wasn't doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I need. That's all that needs.
Yeah.
I don't need to prove that to anyone, which I could because I have proof that I've talked about not being that close with him. So obviously I'm not trying to pretend like I was. I just was feeling something and that's all that it was. It yeah. wasn't. And if my motivations were anything other than that, I would feel it would have stuck with me that they made fun of me because they would have nailed it, you know?
Yeah. I remember even before, like, you know, people like commented on it and you're like, should I post this? Cause it feels like I'm promoting, like, you felt weird about it
yeah.
to me. I remember. Also, it's like, part of me is like, you've matured in a way where you can be sincere and you've removed yourself from this toxic situation that is in these comedy communities, that if you're not the most toxic, you're not being real, or you're not being edgy.
You know what is not edgy? Like, always being edgy.
Exactly.
Let me just say that the definition of edginess to me, and actually pushing the boundaries, is doing things that are risky for you because they might make you look stupid. They might make you look foolish. Yeah. They might make you look weak, but you want to say them and do them anyway. Comics who live on the edge and whose main objective is always to say the most offensive thing and make fun of everything, there's nothing risky about it. Maybe the first time you went on stage and did that act where you're like, say the most offensive thing, maybe that was a risk. But once you have a fan base, there ain't nothing risky about going on a podcast. And granted, I like these guys that make fun of me. They're so funny. And I like offensive humor. I like this, you know, I like that type of humor. That's how I started in comedy, was like saying the worst thing. Obviously, my roast jokes are, you know, representative of that. And a lot of my stand-up act. But the thing what comedy doesn't give me anymore, and doing those offensive jokes used to give me, was the thrill that I might piss someone off and they might hate me forever and it might ruin me. It might make me look stupid. I might say something that's out of line, that challenges the way someone thinks. They're not challenging anyone anymore. Yeah. They have their legion of fans who agree with anything they say.
Yeah.
There is nothing they're putting out there anymore that is ever going to make them look stupid or embarrassed, or there's no risk anymore. And I'm not saying that I still think that it's valid to have that kind of comedy out there. It doesn't mean like all comedy has to be risky. But what I did and what I'm doing with music is so embarrassing.
Yeah.
The level of this is going to get me. It is edgy.
Yeah, I know.
Because
I agree.
It makes me, doing Dancing with the Stars was also another thing. I'm not saying I'm the best at this, but at least I took a fucking chance on something I wanted to do because it felt good, but might have made me look so dumb and did, because I got first. This thing that I sincerely tried, I failed terribly at. I looked more stupid than these guys have, so much more. And to me, and I'm not even the one doing the most, there are people that do this more than I even do it, but to me, being an edgy comic is the safest shit going. And we need to start acknowledging that, because what really is edgy and what is like, you know, is doing things that might make you look dumb. And like you dancing in the supermarket, someone like said something about like, Nikki, you went from being like a great stand-up to now you're posting pictures, like video of this guy dancing in a supermarket. You dance like a little spastic ballerina in a fucking aisle. You tell me that is comedy, you asshole. That is funnier than any one-liner I could have written on Twitter or some like sweet TikTok I could have made of like, when you go to the supermarket and you can't find the time. Like,
yeah.
That is so
or
much
a TikTok
funny.
Dance that is.
And guess how many
like
times I watched that
original
and
all.
Laughed in bed last night when I couldn't sleep. Like 35 times. And how that to me is way riskier than saying some like line about like race or trans rights or whatever the forward, like someone's mom. It's just like
my thing too is that like it's like if and I know we have to get to news, but like if your fan base attacks the person you make fun of, not in a comical way, but in the most harsh and egregious way, to really rip at them and make them feel horrible about themselves. And you don't fucking tell your audience like, hey, look, we agree that this is funny, but attacking other people outside of us in a way where they flood the troll. And it's whatever your fucking trolls, your fucking radio.
Oh,
on
did
keyboard.
They flood my comments on the second video?
They comment on our YouTube page, like 100 of them and maybe even more. Who knows?
Oh, I got so many messages on Twitter like, where's your Louis Anderson song? Where's your, you know, Robert Durst song? It's just like, it's going to follow me for a while. And
which is fine.
But I'm going to put out an album and actually have success. And I'll get made fun of so much I have so many more things up my sleeve that are going to be embarrassing. Bring it on. These fucking pussies that comment this shit, they would never do anything that would ever make them look a little bit stupid.
Exactly.
In the name of being sincere and putting out actual feelings. And the second one of these guys' heroes perishes, God forbid, let's see if they don't fucking do something a little bit sweet. And by the way anyone who is listening to these guys thinking they are like so brave and don't give a fuck and they don't try at all. Look at what they're wearing. Look at the outfits they wear. Look at the gloves they have on. They think about what they look like and how they appear all the time. As so do I. I'm just saying it bugs me that they came after me. It hurt my feelings. It made me feel stupid. It made me feel exactly how I knew I was going to feel and how like I predicted I was going to feel. It's embarrassing to be made fun of. It just is. Especially by comedians whose like comedy you respect.
There's a way to be sincere in like this. Their fan base, whatever, they're like, oh, we're sincere. We actually, you know, when we have festivals, we all come together and we're so open to everything.
I love you, man. And we close every roast with, I love you, man. You're like my brother.
But there's like a way that they do sincerity where it's still like manly and edgy. It's like, I love my baby son. I taught him how to shoot a gun and kill his first rabbit. And then we ate it together right out there on the woods, you know. And it's like, wow, man, you fucking have some heart. But if it was like, you know, I don't know, really putting yourself out there or really like just like, but then I'll be like, well, you know, or like I kissed a man or I blew him. It's like, yeah, we understand this, but it doesn't mean that your fan base don't fucking attack people and like fucking
treat
people like.
Because I interpreted it completely different.
And here we are talking about it.
Yeah. No. I wanted to. Noah, what?
So I watched it and like your song was the impetus for like one of the funniest moments they've had on their podcast, which was the tribute song that Jay and the guy from the Comedy Jam wrote, but it was about Bob Saget. So it had nothing really to do.
Wrote like a mock song.
Yeah. So they're like, okay, well this inspired us to write our own songs. And Lewis wrote a song, a parody song about meeting Bob Saget in the green room at Skankfest and Bob Saget not knowing who he was to Tears in Heaven. And then Jay and Adam wrote a song, like a metal song, the Linkin Park song. And then they did like a thing that Korn did. Anyway.
Yeah.
And it was really funny.
It's like, it is funny. I would probably be making fun of me too, but I'm just getting defensive because I'm me, but I will say that like I don't mind what they did as much as like what their fans did. Of course.
Yeah.
Terrified of looking like pussies ever or being vulnerable and really almost looking sincere, like, or being made fun. I mean, I would be terrified of being made fun of too if all my friends constantly were on the lookout to call me gay and make fun of me. Like it is, and as a comedian, you can't do sincere things. I've chosen a profession where I'm going to get made fun of, and this will haunt me for the rest of my life. But given a chance to do it again, I might have released it under a different name or something so that no one could accuse me of it. But that would have been weird because it's like, why is this random person singing about Bob Saget? And maybe I would have put more jokes in it, but the day I recorded it, I wasn't in a mood to make jokes. It had just happened.
Yeah.
And that's just what happened. And you know what? But I think that this can be a lesson to everyone because I was thinking about how we could make this like, oh, how is this about a larger thing than just myself? And it's just, you can't control what people think about you. And if you know what your own intentions are and you know who you are, even if someone's calling you racist, someone's calling you a diva, someone's calling you a bitch, someone's calling you lazy, if you know someone's calling you fat, if you know you actively don't want to be that thing, maybe you are fat, but you don't want to be it, you know that it's not your fault. And also that it matters what I think. Like I remember Rachel Feinstein, I remember one time she was worried about some person she was working with thinking something about her because they knew someone who probably would have lied about her to them. And I was just like, Rachel, it just doesn't matter because you can't control it. What are you going to call them and say, I think you might have heard this thing about me? It's out of your hands. And you know that you're not that. And all you have to do is just keep living from that place of not being the person that they are thinking that you are. And it'll catch up. There are so many times I have heard things, shitty things about people. And I go into a situation thinking a person's going to be one way because I've heard rumors. And how easy is it to disprove that once you get to know a person? Mm-hmm. And even if you don't get a chance to disprove it, like, I'm not going to get a chance to make these people like me. They'll never like me, these guys. Yeah. And the haters. But I know who I am, and that's all that matters. And they're not affecting my well-being. They're not, like, you know, hurting me. I'm not reading their comments. My friends and family might. But I know, even if I did put that out to get attention for being friends with Bob Saget, and because I wanted everyone to hear my cool new voice that I think I deserve to win a fucking Emmy for, which is not true. But even if that were true, who the fuck cares? That's another thing. When people like put an Instagram post where, you know, you'll go, Nikki, isn't this guy just trying to get attention for this? And I go, even if he is, isn't that sad? Shouldn't we just like let that, like, and it's not, that's not, I'm not hurting anyone by, if I were really like, God, I want everyone to know I'm so close with Bob Saget and that like famous people love me. If that were me, that's really, in the scheme of things, to be a bad person, that's not really that bad. It's not true, but like, even if it were, it's, but I know who I am.
I mean, how many people were probably talking shit about Childish Gambino when he was like trying to do like R&B music when he was a stand-up comedian? I mean, and now he's off to making one of the best shows on TV. And I'm not saying people go, well, that's not the same because he's more talent, like, whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they have this idea of, like,
yeah,
and they want to keep everyone in a box because they don't want to go outside that box. That box is scary. I don't want to step out there.
It's so scary to potentially look stupid.
Look,
and that's why I love you. That's why I was so attracted to you and your version of stand-up, because you've taught me to lean into that of, like, who cares if I'm looking in the Instagram and I'm trying to look a little bit hot here, and it's also funny. It's also funny. That's good enough. And maybe I am trying to look a little hot because I look good. Who the fuck cares?
It's okay.
And what if I look like I do a silly dance and it's like, I don't know. It's just,
I get comments though. Like, look there, I lean, like, I know, like, there's a way of me being like, oh, I could just dance down the thing and like, but I also want to be respected for my jokes, you know, because I do think I'm a good joke writer. And I do think, like, I actually can tell a story very, like, whatever. I'm very compelling on stage, and that I don't just rely on, like,
you're more like, than that, of course.
Like, and I'm not saying that that's what you think, but, like, you know, I get comments all the time where it's like, you're nothing without Nikki.
You know that's not true.
I know, but even if you read it, like,
but I'm saying, no, that's no, what I'm saying.
Agreed. That's what I tell my, I do tell myself. I go, look, I actually worked 8 years or 7 years before I even met Nikki. I actually, like, am extremely talented on my own.
Yes.
But you read that and people from afar, it still,
it gets
enters
in there,
my brain. And like,
but you just got to go back to what you can control. And
yeah,
and trying to convince people, no, actually this, just keep telling good jokes. Just keep telling good stories. Keep, like,
yeah,
because you do know you're a good storyteller. You do know you're a good comedian. They might not know that or see that yet, but you can just keep doing it, and then it'll eventually get out there. They might not see it, but in
it's
the
just
end,
so funny, like, how you come up, though, is, like, how you're perceived. Like
everyone gets a break from
exactly
someone else. Yeah. Everyone can always go, you wouldn't be anything if you didn't do that. Like, I have, there's so many people have helped me along the way that they could. And by the way, people could say the same thing about, I'm nothing without you. Like, what do I have to be? It's the same. I feel that way about you sometimes, a lot of times.
Yeah.
So do we have any time for any new? No, we have to go to a break. Let's come back with Why Do I Care and just cut right to it.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
All right, why do I care?
Why do I care?
Let me get to it. Sorry. Oh, yeah. Have all the swells out there. It's Tuesday, folks. You know what that means?
We didn't even do news.
So it is Tuesday. But why do I care? Taylor Swift fires back at singer Damon Albarn for claiming she doesn't write her own songs. Can you listen to his quote?
Yeah.
And then have you read the quote?
Yeah. I don't even want to comment on this. I'm so upset about it in a way that you don't think I would be.
So he goes, she doesn't write her own song. Oh, so Damon went on to say that doesn't count. She co-writes some of them, or the reporter said, whatever. He goes, that doesn't count. I know what co-writing is. Co-writing is very different to writing. I'm not hating on anybody. I'm just saying there's a big difference between a songwriter and a songwriter who co-writes. Doesn't mean the outcome can't be really great. That is like not attacking at all. He didn't say that she doesn't write some of her songs, but maybe she does co-write some of them. Does she not? Like, does she not like her bring in producers for music?
She does co-write, but he definitely was insinuating that when it says co-write that she's not doing the writing.
Oh, is that what you got from it?
I mean, absolutely. But the truth of the matter is this is exactly what we were just talking about. I was a little disappointed with her reply because read her reply?
She wrote, fuck you, bitch. I'll find you.
I mean,
I'll
she essentially
slice
did.
Oh, sorry. That was a different quote. Okay. I was.
By the way, this guy is was in the band The Gorillaz, you know, with the Z.
Yes.
I ain't happy.
And Blur.
I'm feeling sad. He's one of the Gorillaz.
Feeling bad. I got sunshine. I was such a big fan of yours until I saw this. I write all of my own songs. Your hot take is completely false and so damaging. You don't have to like my songs, but it's really fucked up to try and discredit my writing. Wow. And then she writes a follow-up. She goes, P.S., I wrote this tweet all by myself in case you were wondering. Okay. No co-writing on that tweet, motherfucker.
Here's my... Here's... When I saw that, I first read Taylor's response before I saw his thing, and I thought this guy must have really been
harsh,
really mean. And then I read his quote and I go, we would never hear about this guy's quote unless Taylor commented on it, ever. Who is reading an article about what the co-founder of Gorillaz, who had a hit in 2001, says? Andrew, you want to scoot up closer?
Oh, sorry.
So the only reason we know about this, I get it. I get, this is exactly what we were just talking about. When someone says something about you that isn't true, and how you respond, and how and how hurtful it can be when you know it isn't true, and you perceive that maybe a lot of people are saying this about you. I gotta be honest, no one thinks Taylor Swift ain't writing her songs. That girl, I mean, I know. I mean, you know what? I don't want to say no one, because it's almost the same thing I was just saying of like, when one person says something, the people can latch onto it, mm-hmm. and then it can become the narrative about you. But there are so many documented, it's so well documented that Taylor Swift writes literally everything she does, and she has a hand in everything. She's almost, it's almost too much sometimes where you're like, girl, like, she's writing songs for other people, like, she should record on her own. This girl is one of the greatest songwriters in the history of the world. There's no doubt about that. The fact that she got so upset about this hurts me, because I'm like, Taylor, you have nothing to prove anymore. Mm-hmm. You don't need to get mad at this guy, because his voice means truly nothing. You are so solidified in the annals of music history as one of the most prolific singer-songwriters who will ever exist, right up there with the Beatles, that answering this guy is just beneath you. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he made you so upset makes me think, babe, what's going on? Like,
Yeah, but I guess the competitive...
It makes me feel sad for her that she got so upset about this. And...
But don't you think this mindset is the same reason why she writes 40,000 songs? It's the same reason why you write and do everything you do? Like,
yes, but
every
I think
artist
she should have kept
is
it
sensitive
to herself, because
every
I think this
artist.
Guy's life is ruined now for while because of how much her fans hate him. And I just think it was an overreaction.
Even like Taylor too. Like, her fans.
But thank God for Taylor Swift's overreactions. I have.
But her fans are going to go off on this guy.
Oh, I know.
Right? And
yeah,
she'll never once write, hey, you know what?
Back off.
Look, it was between me and him. I made this public. It's not really, you don't have to fucking.
I completely
you don't have
agree.
To swat him or That's, whatever.
When
like,
you said that about those guys about me, it was immediately what I thought about. I felt bad for this guy yesterday, because he followed up with the greatest response ever. And I'm on the Taylor Swift subreddit yesterday.
What was his response? I didn't see
it. It was like, I would never want to discredit you as a songwriter. I am so very sorry. I mean, it was
And it was taken out of context, he said, a little bit.
It was absolutely. They were talking about co-writers in general. I bet her name was thrown into it. They took out any other name that was associated in that mix. I'm sure it was taken out of context. And the thing is, maybe he was feeling a little jealous of her. And he threw under the bus, because he was like, I like Billie Eilish more than Taylor Swift. He said a couple other things that were like not nice. So I would be fired up too if I were her. But it makes you realize there's no one that's immune to feeling really attacked when there's ridicule, especially when it puts into question the thing that you pride yourself on the most, that no one can take from you, is that you write your own stuff.
And it comes from a peer that
if someone said that someone else co-wrote my jokes, I would fucking lose my goddamn mind. You know, like that is what really,
especially
when people say
I
suck dick for stage time, I was like, okay, I know I didn't do that. But when someone said no men wrote jokes for you, I was like, how fucking dare you?
So and I did blow him for the joke. No, but my thing is like, it's also comes like, you like these guys that were talking shit. She respected this guy. So I'm sure she's like, wow, this guy's a great song, or however she viewed it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
I think
what
it's interesting to say you're a fan of someone until they insult you, because does that change how their music sounds?
No.
That's a little weird.
That's the difference. Yeah. Yeah.
I just felt.
So you're reading the subreddit.
To meditate more, but that's it. But I will say that she, I was reading the subreddit, and I thought Taylor Swift fans would be like, that was a sincere apology. People cannot fucking apologize anymore. No one will take an apology. There's no apology that's ever good enough for people once they want to burn you at the stake. There's
once you apologize, then you're weak, And then they jump on
you
more.
Apologizing is worse. Yeah, there's nothing. You guys, open your minds to people apologizing. It's so weird. And my fans don't need to hear this because they're fucking open to it. But I'm just like sad about it. Let's get into Reddit. It's time for Reddit Dump.
Karaoke mode.
This is your Reddit dump. All right. So
can
let's.
Can I pee real quick?
Yeah, go pee. Sorry. I'll stay on here and keep this going. So I wanted to play a really funny clip from, I guess, Magnum PI. Did you see the one? And it's like, I don't know if it's going to go well on audio, but you can check it on the video if we can put it on. Mm-hmm. It's Magnum PI, and he's like obviously investigating some kind of crime. And it's, you know, what's his name? Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck.
And he's running up some stairs, and he sees a nun on a ladder, and he has his gun drawn, and he's like searching for whoever the suspect is. And he sees a nun on a ladder, and he kind of looks at the nun, and she looks back at him, and he's like, kind of like, oh, okay,
morning,
she's just
sister.
A nun. And then he says that. Then he runs back up the stairs.
She says good morning.
He runs back up the stairs. And then he gets a little bit of like a suspicion. And then all of a sudden, you see her from behind pull out a gun.
Guns don't work on Sunday.
And he says to himself, right before he realizes that the nun is in the background pulling out her gun, and you can see her about to shoot him. And then he like, you know, he just kind of thinks to himself. And then right before he turns around to see her, he goes, nuns don't work on Sunday. Then he turns around and he shoots the nun before she's able to shoot him. But it's just so funny how, like, you would never put that together and go, it's Sunday. Nuns don't work on... It's just, like, the dumbest thing.
Especially
just
fixing windows. What nuns
yeah,
fix
the nun,
windows?
Why would a nun... Nuns don't work. Like, why is this not on a ladder fixing a window? Like a very high ladder too. She's like 35 feet up. It just made me laugh. That was from the subreddit. Funny.
Wait, I have a question for Andrew, because when I was watching that clip, has anyone ever said that Tom Selleck and you could be related in some way?
Here, wait till you see this photo, and I think we should post it. I'll send you a photo, Noah, of where I'm very Selleck-y.
Okay.
Mixed with Ron Jeremy.
Oh, yeah. You got a little bit of Ron Jeremy. I see that.
But
on
no
the top.
No Selleck?
No, I see the Tom Selleck, especially in this last clip that we just showed. This was from True Off My Chest, is where people just like vent something. And this thought made me think of you, Andrew. It said, the fact that women's legs are naturally hairy to me is such a mind fuck. My dislike of hairy legs on a woman feels so natural to me, but it isn't. It's a socially imposed preference. And if I had been born any time before the 1900s, women would be all walking around with hairy legs and men wouldn't give a shit because it would be normal. It's hard for me to believe my preference for hairless legs is a social construct because it doesn't feel that way, even though it is. Mm. It makes me wonder what other aspects of myself that I believe are inherent are actually not. Andrew, you feel the same way about women's hair on their legs. Don't lie.
I'm not going to lie. I'm going to say that if Brando might not shave her legs during the winter and... Or like she lets them grow a little bit, like they do feel a little tarantula, but not full.
But you said the look of ankle hair on a woman's leg could make you unattracted to her.
No, it was
you
the happy trail.
That.
It was the happy trail of a woman. But a woman with fully grown out leg hair, it does not help my penis stay hard or get hard.
And
I agree with that.
I have the same thing with men not driving Teslas.
Just kidding. Yeah. What is it about a man that like where a man grooms themselves where it's like I couldn't date a man unless he was groomed in a certain way? I'm just trying to think.
There's
of,
nothing.
Like,
I mean, I don't really mind a lot of body hair or anything like that. Not that I'm,
I mean, there
nothing.
Are women that will go, if you have back hair, I'm not dating you. Like, women do say
uncircumcised penises.
With hair on them.
There are women that are like probably grossed out by that, but you should be grossed out by penises in general.
Yeah.
The fact that we haven't learned to like crave penises is weird. Like just want them in us. We do, but like physically, like why don't they look more appealing? I guess because we don't need to put them in our mouths. That's just something we do for fun.
It's the dicks you've seen your whole life. It's what you see your whole life. If I saw leg hair my whole life.
Right.
I would just.
It would be more acceptable.
Although, no, I do remember though in like fourth or fifth grade when girls had hair, like some girls would shave until their knee.
Yes.
And then it would be like, even really if it was blonde, they go, it's blonde. I'm like, yeah, but that's a lot of blonde.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, a good
even then, I kind of knew that like I wasn't that attracted to it.
I'm the same way. I mean, I feel like so much more of a woman when I have shaved legs. Mm. But it is interesting that makeup, though, is just something that highlights things that are already natural for a woman to look pretty.
Yeah.
Like that are already like, but the hairless leg thing is completely... I wonder what that is signaling to a man's brain that they are more sexually attractive. That is kind of an evolutionary.
What's that?
Thing.
The hair.
Yeah,
thing?
Hairless being like if a woman's
young,
hairless.
Young.
Oh yeah, young. It's youth. You're right. You don't get hair on your legs until you're older.
It's like
totally,
if I saw a dolphin youth. With long hair, I would be turned off. Like there's something about like.
Oh God, have you seen that TikTok of someone putting those like hard spaghetti through a hot dog and then cooking it?
Oh, no.
It looks like a centipede. So you put it through a hot dog, and then you throw it in boiling water, and then afterwards all the spaghetti is... You strike it through.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And you put it in the water, and so it looks like a... And then you pull it out, and it's just this... And then they put it in a bun, and it's like a spaghetti dog. It just makes me sick. So this is one from Life Pro Tips. I just thought this was good for me and the besties and you to know. Life pro tip. Always tell kids that they have a cool helmet. Positive reinforcement with helmets can cause them to wear them more in the future and potentially save their life. I thought that was good.
Yeah. I mean, again, that goes to like being manly and being tough as opposed to is it stupid?
Tony Hawk wears a helmet. That's what it says here.
Yep.
Also, buy your kids helmets that look cool like their friends have. That's a good point. Was there anything when you were a kid that you were like so... I needed to have like a cool backpack. Like I was so worried that I was going to have a lame, lame gym shoes, lame backpack, lame bike, really.
Lame binder.
Yes.
Remember the Velcro binder came out and then it's like
star.
It couldn't be too colorful because I couldn't be a girl. So it'd have to be manly, maybe like a dark blue.
Okay.
That I'm wearing now for a shirt.
Let's go to the final thought and let's play the clip that I just found on Reddit this morning that is so weird of this guy trying to pick up this girl in like a thrift store. So it says it actually reads it for us so we can listen. It's so creepy. You're going to love this.
I was just trying to thrift.
Excuse me. My name is Lori.
All right.
I just think you're one of the most beautiful girls I've ever met.
Oh, thank you.
Could I buy one of those things for you?
Oh, no, it's okay. I'll be fine.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you engaged with someone or involved with someone?
No, I'm not. No, but
I'm not either.
I'm only 17, so.
Okay, well, that's a good age to be.
Yeah, it is.
I'm not quite that.
All right.
I got injured about a month or so ago. My knee is kind of, I'll show you, it's kind of banged up. I get bitten by a tick, actually. Maybe you can guess which one is bad.
Oh, I have no idea.
You can't tell?
I can't tell.
It's the right one. Anyway, I live out in the country, and I got a bunch of stuff that I was kind of trying to keep up on for work, but it's kind of falling behind. I'm looking for someone to help me.
Okay.
It's a paying thing, but it's basically involves getting my stuff out of the garden and processing some things like tomatoes and that kind of stuff.
Right. I'm getting a phone call. I actually have to go.
Okay.
Ugh.
God.
What the fuck? I mean, that's a guy that eventually he tries that a bunch of times and obviously never works. Or he tries it on a mentally ill person and they do it. But he's going to murder her.
And then he just goes and kidnaps someone.
I don't know about murder, but he'll definitely sexually harass her.
But no. Well, someone commented and said, I have a farm with an empty storage container that I'm currently looking to lock someone up in. Are you interested?
She's like, actually, yeah. That sounds cool.
One of my acid vats has sprung a leak. Do you know how to weld?
I do.
That's another comment. These people are so funny on Reddit. Yeah, and also, hey girl, want to check out my gross knee? Like, my pussing knee that got bit by a tick? Like, what is wrong with people? And also, that girl, teach our children to say, leave me the fuck alone, dude, or, like, go get...
But you don't want to, like, elevate it, I guess. It's hard.
I know, but she's in a public place where there could be other people, but, like,
Man, that is so
the hanger,
creepy.
The hanger sounds add to the tension, too.
Oh, yeah.
I freaking, yeah.
Have you ever tried to pick up a girl in public? Like, total shift of tone, because obviously you would never do anything like that. But has there ever been an attempt to talk to a girl in public that you had an attraction to from afar and like...
I'm going to say this right now, and you might not believe me. I don't think I've ever... Maybe not... Okay, sober. Sober.
Right.
Not drunk. I've never hit on a girl in like a hitting on way in my life.
Yeah.
That's... I know.
I believe you. I don't think
I've never been at the gym and been like, honestly, oh, are you like lifting? That's cool. Like, I love to lift.
I've been hit on maybe a handful of times like that, but I think it happens so often. I think it really does put out a vibe of like, don't fucking talk to me. And not that I'm like, the other girls are asking for it. I'm not saying that. I just don't get it a lot. And I have to imagine it's not because guys don't want to rape me, but, it's like,
but I'm talking about like, just even just like,
no, I get it. Yeah, just yeah. want to sleep with me. No, it doesn't. It's never. I'm almost offended that people don't do it more often because. But I've given my number to like. Got. I've like just gone up and like given my number and walked away. Back in my 20s, a lot. Not so. I mean, sober.
Yeah, I mean, that's
and they never do.
It's a good move though because you're kind of like. You're not really. You're risking it without kind of risking it because you're kind of like you're going for it, but. They don't call back,
dude.
I know you did that at the hotel that one time.
There was a bellboy at the hotel I just checked out of yesterday. And I went downstairs and I had all my luggage in my room stacked up. And I had a tip on it because I was going to go down to the lobby and be like, hey, can someone go up and get it? And I go down and they're like, oh, this guy can get it. And he rounds the corner and he's the most attractive person I've ever seen, maybe. And he's the bellboy, and he's probably like 22 or something. Like, he's way young, but he's just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I couldn't talk. I, in front of all these employees at the front desk, I was like, I have, and I had to look at the ground. I felt insane.
Like you were kicking dirt?
I was so, it wasn't like I was like trying to be like flirtatious. I couldn't. I was too astounded by how attractive this person was, and I felt embarrassed to be in their presence. And I was like, "It's my luggage is up." I couldn't look at him. Have you ever seen someone so good looking you couldn't look them in the eye?
Yeah, I think so. I can't like put my finger on it, but I've been around attractive enough people that are just like, "Oh, you're not even you're not the same kind of person as me." Like, there's two different kinds of people, and you're in some kind of weird cheekbone.
I felt like
family.
If I looked him in the eyes, he would know how much I felt he was hot. Like that something in my eyes might turn to hearts. Or I don't know why I couldn't make eye contact because I thought he would know everything and it would be so embarrassing that this old woman thinks this guy is so cute. But it was like I was a seventh grader and there was like a hot boy at the locker next to me. It was so funny. I felt like kind of alive again. I was like, oh my God, that's so funny. And then I was like, how does my room look? What did I, what kind
you
of
You also
shape
don't expect
in?
It. Like it's, you're, oh yeah. And he also just saw all your like room.
Sees
and,
like my dirty luggage. I'm like, Jesus Christ. No, I mean, I was just, I
also
was like this.
Then it's like, do people like not try to fuck the bellhop or do they just try to fuck the bellhop? Do we think we're better than the bellhop?
I was like, this is a White Lotus episode, season two, waiting to happen. I mean, this kid, I couldn't, I've never seen someone just where they just walk in and I'm like, hi.
He's definitely in LA modeling, acting.
He was so sweet. He was just like a young, maybe he was older than 22, but he was just nice. He wasn't like he thought he was cool. He was just like a sincere bellman that was like, I'm sorry, I don't know your, he was like, what's your name again? Because they're all, it's a hotel where they're supposed to like know your names, but he didn't know my fucking name. And I'm like, Miss Glazer. it's Miss Robinson to you.
Yeah. It's funny. This makes me think of, so last night I watched Euphoria, episode 3 of this past season. And there's a beginning episode, at the beginning of the episode, it's about like these two high school boys that end up like they love each other, but they can't be together because it's like the 1950s or 60s or whatever. It's like an origin story for like one of the other characters, like the fathers.
Okay.
Whatever. Long story short, I'm like, God, this one guy, like they're both extremely attractive guys that look like they're in their 20s playing high school kids, whatever. But the one looked just like Brad Pitt. Like, like a young Brad Pitt, and I literally typed in like, I don't know why. I just had to Google it. I had to find out
like
if this guy looked like Brad Pitt. Like,
so you looked up.
I typed in, you know, Euphoria episode 3 guy that looks like a young Brad Pitt.
Oh my God.
And it's just like so funny. And I found him on Instagram and I'm like going through his. I was like, he kind of looks like Brad Pitt. Like I'm like analyzing how hot he is. Does he look like Brad Pitt? And I'm
just I do the same thing late at night. It's so lame. Oh my God. The wormhole I got into last night was so embarrassing. I was looking at some couple that is like, looks perfect.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you doing, Nikki? It's 3 a.m. Like, you should go to bed. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm so happy for them. They're really cute, but like, oh, let's, I want to hear what her voice sounds like. She's really hot, but I bet she's got a weird voice. And I'm like, and then I'm just like, God, they seem so happy. And I'm like, ugh, just go back to like, just get off of this. And so I go back to Reddit and it's just a picture of a wart being dissected. And I'm like, what is, and it's just, I'm in the subreddit warts, like looking, and I'm deep in it, like two years down, looking. And I'm like, it just was such a quick reminder of like who I am. I'm like this single woman with a UTI, staying up late, watching some couple being like, they're not that happy. And then I go back to like me and my wart vid.
And then the next morning you go, hey, I got to sleep in an extra 20 minutes. Because
that's what I was up late doing last night. It's ridiculous. We got to go. Thank you for listening to the podcast. We'll be here all week and all month, really, in Mexico. Thank you so much for listening. Don't be and Jack
Cabo.
Noah just said a whole list of them and we couldn't even pull one.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.